Speaking on this program is Brother Kevin T.
When we think about mothers, there are so many in the Scripture that we could turn to as an example of individuals who would serve as a godly example, as mothers who would demonstrate a true love for not only God, but also for their family. But then also we're able to look to the influence of these ladies and to see the impact that they had upon the lives of their children that they were raising and even their husbands, and then even upon society. The one I want to talk about this morning as we think about mothers and a mother's love and influence, I want us to consider a lady that we oftentimes don't consider very much about, and that is Jochebed. Jochebed is the mother of Moses and Aaron and also Miriam, as we have identified from the context of the book of Exodus chapter 2. And as we consider this lady, I want us to consider her life. I want us to look at her relationship with God and then also the love and influence that we find in regard to the rearing of her children from this lady, Jochebed. Friends, to begin with, I think from the context of Exodus chapter 2 and verse 1, as well as later on through the Scripture, we find that this lady is identified as a godly woman. Why? Well, to begin with, who is it that she marries? She marries Amram, and he was a Levite. And to begin with, in this context, it might not mean so much, but in the broader context of Scripture, this means a great deal. You see, to come from the tribe of Levi would have meant that you were amongst those that God set in order after this setting to serve over the children of Israel. It is from the tribe of Levi that we have the high priest as well as those serving in the priest position. And these were the descendants of Aaron, and hence who was his mother? Jochebed. So from this context within itself, I believe that we see that this lady serves as a godly lady because of the fact that God uses her lineage to establish the priesthood, but then also think in regard to Moses. Moses was a man of God himself. And that's not to say that he was perfect in any sense of the imagination. He certainly had his shortcomings, but friends, when we consider the fullness of this man's life, I believe that we see that he truly loved God and also that he sought to walk with God. And where did he receive that? We know that by all means the context shows us that he was considered the daughter of the Pharaoh. And that's not because he was the daughter of the Pharaoh, but rather that after he had grown, he was taken in and was allowed to live in that type of an environment or situation or setting. But rather, we see that in reality, he was nursed by his mother and he would have been influenced by his mother very early on. And therefore, where did he learn these things concerning his love for God? I believe that he would have gotten these from his godly mother, Jochebed. Friends, also, though, we learn from the context of Exodus chapter 2 that she faced an extremely challenging dilemma. Whenever a couple gets married, usually they want to start their family. And I think that that was indeed the case with Amram and Jochebed. They desired to have children, and therefore they wanted so much to be able to bring their offspring into the world and to love them and to raise them. But there was a certain circumstance that should have or could have hindered them. And I say should have because it obviously would have hindered many. But in this, though, we find is that they were more zealous to have a child than to worry about the situation that was surrounding them. In this immediate context, if you go back to Exodus chapter 1, we find is that there was a king who was brought into a position there in Egypt who did not know Joseph. And he looked to the children of Israel. He looked to God's chosen people, and he was baffled by their great size, and he feared that they were going to overpower them and to take over. And for that reason, then, he set an edit into order so that whenever the Hebrew women would have a male child, that child would be killed upon birth, but the the daughters, they should and could be left alive. The midwives were not willing to follow through with that, or as is stated here in the context also, though, is that the Hebrew women, they would have their children before the midwives could come. And the Scripture tells us that the king, that he looked up on the midwives in a very sour way because they were not following through with his orders to kill these young babies, these male babies, whenever they were coming into the world. And then, though, the Bible tells us in Exodus chapter 1 and verse 20 is that the midwives fared very well with God. Why? Because those male babies, when they were coming into this world, friends, they represented a soul. And in fact, you and I know that they represented a soul and a life even in the mother's womb. The Pharaoh, the Scripture tells us in Exodus chapter 1 and verse 22, issued another decree that concerning the Hebrew children, the males, whenever they were born, is that now they were to be cast into the river, but every daughter should still be brought forth and saved alive. Can you imagine Amram and Jochebed and the situation? Wanting to have children, wanting to bring an offspring into the world and to raise them. And in this now, you've got this to contend with. The Scripture tells us in Exodus chapter 2 and verse 2 is that the woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was a beautiful child, she hid him for 3 months. Can you imagine that time frame where that you've had this child, you love this child, you want so much to be able to tell everybody, to announce the news. We've had a child, we've had a son, and he's beautiful. He's an amazing young man, but you've got to take and you've got to hide this child. She had a very challenging dilemma that she faced here, but friends, she exemplified a pretty amazing courage, I believe, in this context. Whenever she realized she could no longer contain or to hide the child, the Scripture tells us that she made a makeshift vessel, and that she took that vessel and she made sure that it would float, and she put the baby in the vessel and put the child at the edge of the river. That within itself, I believe, would have been very challenging. I find it interesting is that the Pharaoh was having the male children born alive thrown into the river, and now she puts hers on the river to be saved. Isn't that interesting? And in this context, too, the Scripture tells us that his sister Miriam, she stood afar off and she observed what was going to happen unto this child. Friends, I believe that it took great courage for Jochebed to go through with this situation, knowing that if she had held on to that child, is that it was going to mean death and also punishment for her and for the entirety of her family. But now she says, you know, this is my plan. This is what I must do, and it's our only hope for our son to possibly be able to continue to live. Friends, I believe in this context here also we see is that she demonstrates a true faith in Jehovah God. God allowed her to conceive. God blessed her that she was able to give birth to this child and to conceal him for 3 months during this time frame. And I can't help but think that in the back of her mind, she must be thinking, God is going to provide in some form or fashion. And He does. The Scripture tells us that as Miriam is watching, is that the daughter of the Pharaoh, she came down to bathe at the river, and her maidservants were walking along the riverside. And what is discovered? They find, who's later identified as Moses, this baby. And the Scripture tells us that the Pharaoh's daughter, she was not enraged knowing that it was a Hebrew little boy as what others would have been. And she didn't take him out and cast him into the river, but rather the Scripture tells us, friends, is that she had compassion upon the child. God bless Miriam, correct? What does she do? She takes advantage of the opportunity she has, and she goes to the Pharaoh's daughter and says, do you want me to go and to find someone to nurse this child? And Pharaoh's daughter says, most certainly. And who does Miriam go and get? She goes and gets Moses' mother to come and to nurse the child. And she's able to nurse the child and certainly from that point to be able to influence the child. Friends, I believe that Jochebed received her reward from God because of all that she was and represented in her life and the love that she had not only for her children but also for our God. Her reward in this context, in the immediate context, is that she's able to hang on to her son. That she's able to nurse this child. And not only to nurse him, but she's able to watch him grow. She's able to be there and to see him on a daily basis. And what a blessing that is. And there is that time where she takes and she turns him over to the Pharaoh's daughter, and hence he leaves the home and he's raised under that situation or environment. But you and I know that she has instilled in him to this point in time the foundation that is necessary for him to go forth and to demonstrate godliness in his life from that point forward. Boy, we are blessed with some mothers who also can align with Jochebed. And the encouragement that I want to give to our mothers today is I want you to always aspire each and every day to be identified as a mother, as a godly mother. In that, you must be a Christian. You must be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin. And for those who are Christians, to be identified on an ongoing basis as a godly mother, we want to encourage you to pray continually. Pray for your relationship with God, but pray also for your family so that God will give you the wisdom, the understanding of what is necessary on your behalf as well as on the father's behalf to raise your children in a way that will please and glorify God. But also we need mothers to be praying for our families and to be praying for our children as they go out into the world and as they go off to school. The world is a very challenging place today. And the devil works continually in that world to destroy our young children in so many different ways. And mothers, pray for your families, that they will have God's protection continually as they are out here in the world. A godly mother will pray for her family and pray for herself. She will also study the Scripture. And why is it important for a godly woman, a godly mother, to study the Scripture? So that her faith will not become stagnant, so that her faith will continue to abound, and so that she will understand what it is that God requires of her as a godly mother. And then that she will be able to engage with her family and then to teach her family concerning the ordinances of God, concerning what it is that God says in order for them to become a child of God, and then also for them to be able to live a life that will be pleasing and glorifying unto God. Friends, not only should a godly mother study and teach her children, but also she must live a life of an example before them. Moms, look at your life and ask yourself, as I see you, I think that we've got a lot of great mothers here. But are there things in your life maybe that is amiss? Or are there things that could possibly be better that would serve as a stronger influence or example to those little ones that you're striving to bring up to the Lord? Understand the necessity and also the responsibility that you have as a mother to serve as a beautiful example for your families each and every day. But moms also, I want to encourage you as we think about your identity as a godly mother to have compassion. Not only compassion for your family, that's a given. That's kind of innate, isn't it? God-given. A mother automatically has love and connection with her family, but also have compassion towards others. Why? Because God commands all of us as Christians to be compassionate people as what Christ was compassionate. And the way in which that is brought about in an individual's life is oftentimes the time that they have with their families in the home. And mothers and fathers play a huge role in the progress as well as in the foundation then that will be a part of the child's life as they become adults. And mothers, make sure that you have compassion towards others and that your family understands that and they see that. They see that every single day. But also a godly mother will make sure that her life is lived faithful before God every single day. But then in like figure, moms expect the devil not to give up. Expect that the devil's always going to be out there trying to bring about difficulties in your life. How will he do that? He's going to attack you personally. And I trust that we've got mothers here today who would say, yes, I know that. Because he's constantly coming after me. He's constantly bombarding me with this or that, putting a thought in or giving an opportunity for this. And mother, stand strong so that you're able to stand against the fiery darts that the devil is casting at you. But also understand that not only will the devil come after you, he will also come after your family. And he will use our family. He will get our families, if they'll let him, get them involved in all kinds of worldliness. Get them involved in all kinds of evil and ungodliness. And mothers, let's make sure that we're there for our families to help shine the light of God's way to bring them back. He'll even not only challenge our families as a unit, he'll challenge our marriages. Try to bring strife between a mother and a father. You know, some of the best examples that we can give our families, moms and dads, is to not fight in front of our children. Amen? No marriage is perfect. I have these couples from time to time who say that we've been married for 50 years and we've never had the first argument. If that's so, that's pretty impressive. But most couples argue. But still at the same time, don't argue in front of the children. And always make sure that whenever you do is that you do it in a godly way and in a loving way towards the mate. The devil works continually to tempt and to bring difficulties to marriages and then also to our children. We've said that the world is a very poor place right now. The world offers so many terrible things that children can and they oftentimes do get involved in. And kids, don't go that way. Stand strong. But moms, be there, even whenever difficult times come to our children, to help them through their trials and difficulties of life. Be strong and courageous through all of the trials that you face. Remember that God will not allow any of us, you, this morning, to be tempted above that in which you're able to bear, but also with the temptation, He will supply a way of escape. And friends, I tell you that that way of escape is oftentimes defined, laid out in a very clear form or fashion in and through the Scripture. And therefore, we need to be consulting the Word of God and applying the Word of God so that whenever these trials come about, is that we can recall and then we can use God's Word to help us through the things that we face in life. Mothers, remember that God's not going to give you more than you can handle, but also remember what Paul said in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. He said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Every Christian ought to be like that, amen? But mothers, understand is that when you're going through trials, be strong and courageous and know that you're not going it alone. You're going it with God's help. And lean on that help. Turn to God for His help. And trust that He's going to work providentially. And He's going to work through prayer. And He's going to work through the church family. He's going to work through your godly family. He's going to work through you also to bring about an end to the trial and a positive as a result of your standing firm and faithful to Him. But also, mothers, realize the power of standing firm and faithful before God. You know, if it were not for my mother, my wife in so many ways, who is also a godly mother, I would not be here today. My mother, in so many ways, was a rock that held us together. My mother is the first Christian in her family. And in fact, she's responsible not only for her obedience to Christ, but she helped to introduce my grandparents, her mother and father, to the Lord. And as a result of that, then her sister and brother And then later on in life, even her other brother obeyed the gospel. And in that, her beautiful example, even as a youth, who knows the impact that that had upon her family. And then you bring that forward to our family, to my family, me and my siblings. I remember whenever trials were going on, my mother stood firm. I remember whenever it came time for Sundays were rolling around and there was no question about it where we were going to be. We were going to go to worship service. That was so important to my mother. And friends, because it was important to my mother, it also became important to me and to my siblings. And I know that I don't only tell that story. Many of you also are able to tell the same story. Understand, realize, mothers, how powerful of an influence that you have upon your families. And if you are committed to God, there's a pretty good chance that your families are also going to be committed to God. Not only while they are in your home, but also then as they would grow and go on to begin families their own. Mothers, as was the case with Jochebed, this morning I also want to encourage each and every one of you to trust that God will reward your labors. A family that is in the Lord is a much more peaceful family. Amen? It's such a beautiful environment to be a part of. And mothers, if you work diligently to have a godly, to be a godly mother and to have a godly family, trust that God will bless that family and that you will feel the blessings as a result of that during your life here. But in an ultimate sense, realize that by you living an exemplary life before your family and putting God first and then striving each and every day to serve God and also then serving God through serving your family and leading your family to God in faithfulness, is that God sees that commitment, your devotion, and He will reward you in the day of judgment. Mothers, we love each and every one of you very much. And we appreciate everything that you do for your families. But mothers, we also love and appreciate your love and commitment for God. Continue down that path, that positive path, to serve God faithfully each day. While today's lesson has not been about becoming a Christian, yet at the same time, we want to extend the Lord's invitation to you that if you are outside of Christ, God has given an avenue, a way for sins to be forgiven. He sent Jesus Christ, His Son, into the world. And Christ died on the cross of Calvary, given an opportunity, a way for man to be forgiven. What is it that God requires upon us then? God wants man. In fact, He commands man to confess Christ to be the Son of the living God, and then also in that confession, to be buried with Christ in baptism, so that you are then raised to walk in newness of life. If you're outside of Christ, we want to extend the Lord's invitation to you today. But also, if we have erring members with us and you have a desire to be restored, that invitation is also open to you.